The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Evening, y'all. It's March 20th, 2023, and this is Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country, from refuge in the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. So they're talking about arresting our president. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit idly by? I guarantee you, this is not a joke. The conservative ex-president of Honduras is already behind bars in the USA, Juan Orlando Hernandez. You know who else is in the dungeon? Janina Añez Chavez, the conservative Christian president of Bolivia. Lenin Moreno of Ecuador is hiding out in Paraguay because he's under indictment. And Mauricio Macri of Argentina tried to make his nation great. He's under investigation. I assure you, the precedent has been well laid to put Trump behind bars. That is, if there's a prison left standing to put him in, you may want to make it your own personal business to make sure that there is not. To make sure that the wheels of justice do not turn at all if they're going to be used against the person that you voted for and the majority of voters chose last time around and intend to choose this time around. We got earthquakes, we got missile launches, and guess whose stock plummeted this week? The two big banks that cheated me, Charles Schwab and Comerica Bank. They were judged before by only the whirlwinds. Now they face annihilation. Since we're not on the Christian radio station tonight, but rather shortwave and internet only, I'm going to play you a little bit of raw rock and roll. There's nothing at all wrong with telling the bad guys that you're going to come get them, that you'll put them in the ground, that you will put them in prison, and that you'll put them in the grave. So many Christians won't do that. They won't say that because they feel like it's boasting. And because the enemy took that ground first, they put their black horse in the center of the chessboard. Well, what are we going to do? Just let them have it? No, you knock that black horse off of there and put them in the bone pile. The black knight has always been a symbol of evil. It's a symbol of the Temple of Set, the satanic church founded by Michael Aquino, disciple of Anton LaVey, and a career intelligence officer in the United States Air Force. Famed missionary Elizabeth Elliot writes how the wicked tribes would summon storms with their demonic powers, with their shamanism, before they would attack another tribe and murder them. But really, commanding the tornado, the lightning, and the stormy whirlwind is our domain as servants of the Most High God. It's God's domain, and we need to warn the wicked that these things will come for them, and greater also, if they continue to offend. It's our duty to warn them and to threaten them. So I'm going to play you half of this tune from AC/DC.
Thank you.
make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, thus saith the Lord. In today's GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Revelation 3:9. This is not even the final church age. This is the sixth, the Philadelphia church age. This is the age of denominational Christianity from 1517 till 1906 or thereabouts. The promise to the seventh church is actually a lot stronger, and it's right here in verse 21. To him that overcometh, the Lord Jesus says, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. So that's what I'm mostly preaching about, but I want you to see that even in the last iteration, even in the centuries of denominational Christianity, this verse came to pass, that the enemies of the Lord's people, of Christian believers, actually came and worshiped at their feet, and I'll tell you who it was. First of all, I'm going to read the first part of this verse. This verse is neglected in the Bible because the first verse talks about the synagogue of Satan. And so this verse is used to defend the untenable and incorrect, errant, heretical position that people should hate the Jews. This is a Catholic doctrine. And for those of us that are free believers that understand that the popes of the world and that they sit in the seat of Antichrist and that this is the enemy that pursues us and pursued our forefathers. This is the heart of global banking, and Rome will someday soon be destroyed by a Russian nuclear device. So let's read the early part of this verse. The Lord Jesus says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And then it continues, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So who is the synagogue of Satan? This is none other than the papacy and the Roman church, who claim that they have the true circumcision. They claim to be the Lord's people. They claim through replacement theology to be modern Israel, and they do lie, and they are not. And this is where the doctrine of Jew hating comes from. Now, what was the fulfillment of this verse? Who came and worshipped at the feet of the Lord's servants? Who came and worshipped at the feet of Christian England and the Christian United States of America? All the great Catholic colonial powers. We crushed Spain in the Spanish-American War in 1898. Then the Netherlands, Portugal, France, and Spain, all the great colonial Catholic powers of the world, had to come to the feet of the Lord's nations. They very soon were subjugated and had to beg for help in World War I. I've got some messages on my desk here from President Trump, and I'm just going to share them with you. First of all, an email. He writes to Patriot. Public reports show that George Soros spent $1 million to elect the Manhattan District Attorney who is trying to destroy me. Soros is using his billions to put political hitmen in office in order to take me down. This is what's become of our republic. No longer is America about issues and elections, but about buying henchmen to do the dirty work of corrupt, shadowy billionaires. Interesting, isn't it, that he calls you patriot, that he writes to patriots? Then he tells about George Soros. Then he tells about the money. Then he calls the guy a hitman. And it goes further than that. Henchman to do dirty work. What are you doing tonight, patriot? What are you doing the night before the expected Tuesday arrest of Donald Trump? Is there really a choice at the ballot box when your preferred candidate is destroyed by lawfare before the elections even occur? Here's another one. The president writes to friend. Right before I was inaugurated in 2017, Chuck Schumer issued a threat to me on live TV. He said I should be careful challenging the deep state because the deep state has, quote, six ways from Sunday at getting back at you, unquote. But that's the battle I signed up for. I didn't run for president to play nice and be careful. I ran to expose corruption and fight for justice. And believe me, the deep state found far more than six ways to exact revenge. They raided my home, intimidated my family and associates, impeached me twice, slandered me with a fabricated dossier, spied on my private communications, accused me of being a Russian asset and dragged me through countless witch hunts. But there's a much more powerful force to be reckoned with than the deep state, and that's the force of our massive grassroots movement. Is this a call to arms? You tell me. There's a little box you can pick up your finger and click the donate button, send a few dollars to the campaign. But you know, you could pick up your finger and click something else. Something that would send a message to the deep state of the swamp that they are not the ultimate authority in this nation. That there are limits to how far they can push, to how far they can misuse the authority that we the people have delegated to them. Our focus tonight is on the weapons of our warfare, on mighty things, things mighty through God, like the whirlwind, lightning, the stormy wind, hailstones, and stones of fire, and the earthquake. And these are weapons that are very effective in causing chaos amongst our enemies that we can pray for and that we can use. I'm really disturbed, by the way, that the enemy is using some of these weapons too. There's been a terrible earthquake Saturday on the Peru-Ecuador border. These are two small South American nations that have not completely fallen to communism yet. And right there on the border they share hits this terrible earthquake of 6.8 magnitude. These nations are having protests and invasions coming out of Bolivia. Destructive protests that are manufactured and are not authentic grassroots movements. And the countries are both small and poor to start with. And so right in the middle of this struggle for their survival, a powerful earthquake hits with significant death and widespread destruction. Please take a minute to pray for these nations. Let's just do it right now. Father, we take a moment to lift up Ecuador and Peru to you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to help those people as their infrastructure is destroyed, as their nations are insecure, as their democracies are wobbling. Lord, we just ask that you would strengthen the resolve of those people, that you would give them might and power in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that you would send blessing, that you would send showers of blessing on those nations and give them a chance to fight back in these few nations that remain that are not completely under the iron curtain that's over South America right now. A powerful weapon in the hand of God right now is the ongoing snowballing banking collapse. It's happening around the world in Asian markets, in European markets. Credit Suisse is receiving a bailout from the Swiss government. This is the heart of European banking. The fact that it can't stand on its own is extremely concerning. There's basically a news blackout on the banking collapse around the world, at least in the United States. You can find a little more information from the British news. Daily Mail has been good about publishing some on the banking crisis. I'll read you one of their headlines. Sharon Stone jokes that she's lost half her money to banking crisis as she pleads for donations at breast cancer charity gala. The New York Post reports nearly 200 banks at risk for same fate as SVB study. This article by Matthew Sedaka tells that 186 U.S. banks across the country could fail if half their depositors quickly withdraw their funds. That based on a study from the Social Science Research Network. The article continues, even insured depositors, those with $250,000 or less dollars in the bank, could have problems getting their cash if these institutions face the sort of run that Silicon Valley saw a week ago. There's the term again, run. That is, a bank run. In a social media-fueled panic, customers rushed to withdraw their money out of concern that the bank would run out. A classic bank run. I don't think there's anything really classic about this, because bank runs back in the day had to do with people withdrawing gold certificates, specie, that is, metal that had intrinsic value. Later bank runs were for little bits of paper money that could still be stuffed under a mattress, but it's fiat currency. In these bank runs today, we're talking about enormous withdrawals. $1 million a second all day long at SVB Bank, and that's electronic fiat money. It's just zeros and ones. It stays within the dollar system. A wise person would get out of the dollar completely now, which is yet another problem. Where are you going to go? El Salvador is nice. Crime has really decreased there, but they use the dollar. The United States dollar is legal currency in El Salvador. As the dollar continues to fall, that little nation of 6 million people will have increased economic problems because of it. So where are you going to go? I say the best game in town in the neighborhood of the Western world is the Mexican peso. Laugh if you want, but there has hardly been a hiccup, hardly a flutter in the Mexican peso during all of these wild fluctuations and concerns about the U.S. dollar. This is where we're rebuilding conservative journalism from safety in Mexico. I just don't know if you can get your money out of America and into the peso fast enough. I know you're listening to me, wealthy Americans in the Caribbean Sea, on the islands, in the Caribbean, and in the Gulf of Mexico. I know you're listening to me. What are you going to do? Get your money into the Mexican peso. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Did you know you can get your crown taken away? Every king knows this. Every ruler knows this. Every president knows this, that their nation can be toppled on a certain level. There's still this American pride. There's still this idea that, oh, that happens to banana republics, that happens to little nations, that happens in the third world. But the warning is for us all that your crown can be taken. And right here it is in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly, says the Lord Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So yeah, your crown as a believer can get taken away. And this is to the Philadelphian church. Once again, it's the sixth church of Revelation. This is the denominational, the mainline church world. It is the phase of Christianity that made America great and that crowned America as the preeminent nation of the world. Prophecies all the way going back to Genesis pertain to this great nation. This is Ephraim, the younger son that the angel would protect. It's all in Genesis 48, 49, and 50. On my YouTube, there's a video titled The Anglo-American Establishment, the United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, something like that. It's on the Good Preaching playlist. Just search Gospel Gunslingers if you want to know about those prophecies and how America became this great nation and how it was told long, long ago. Nevertheless, there is a crown, and that crown can be taken if the individual does not hold fast, if they're not vigilant. Your president is about to be arrested under your nose. And the warning here is clear that you have to be vigilant if you don't want your crown to be taken. America could lose her preeminence in the world. America could lose it. The reign of the petrodollar could collapse. It could fall. It is happening right now. The big question is, what are you going to do? Here's the command. Hold that fast which thou hast. Hold that fast which thou hast. Don't let it be snatched away. Don't let it be taken from you. Defend your birthright. Defend what is yours. Maybe make a plan for escape. Verse 12 tells about he that overcometh and what will happen to the victor. But that's only relevant if someone actually joins the battle. And today in America, those who join the battle are a thin minority.
Amigo, amigo guerrero, te digo, somos marineros, el barco juntos sacaremos, en sueño despierta contento, amigo, no tengas más miedo, sabemos que hay un camino, que juntos la luz toparemos, que el viento nos lleve corriendo, amigo, amigo guerrero, te abrazo, siento tu consuelo, en busca del arco iris. Me tomas la mano y me muestras que existe un camino divino, que existe un destino, que hay otro sitio donde todo es pinto, que existen colores que nunca hemos visto, que hay corazones que crecen distinto. Oh, somos aire limpio. Oh, amigo, no tengas más miedo, que juntos la luz toparemos. Amigo, amigo guerrero, te abrazo, siento tu consuelo. En busca del arco iris, me tomas la mano y me muestras que existe un camino divino, que existe un destino, que hay otro sitio donde todo es pinto, que existen colores que nunca hemos visto, que hay corazones que crecen distinto. Oh, 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 somos aire limpio.
I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. Yes, aside from one losing their crown or a nation losing their crown, this is the promise to the first church of Revelation that they could lose their candlestick, representing the ministering angel. Yeah, and you know what happened? They lost it. They did lose it. This is why, just like Adam and Eve getting thrown out of the Garden of Eden, the Christian church has always been trying to get back to the first century, studying, trying to get back to where that palpable glory, that visible Shekinah, and that spirit of revival was ever present. We've been trying to get back to it. Let's read it all. This is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Revelation 2:5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I've had to take people's candlestick, and it's a frightful thing. It's a deadly serious thing. No more miracles in that ministry. But you know what? When they're selling them, then they have to lose the power. And of course, here in Revelation, the entire world lost the power. This began the Dark Ages. And right after this verse, it talks about the Nicolaitans. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And what happened to the world church order? The Roman church came in with their priestcraft, with a religious slash political world empire that stamped Christianity, true Christianity, for centuries. In later centuries, thank God, he sent forth his armies, and there have been other candlesticks. But this admonition still remains that we can lose them, just like the first century church lost its candlestick, lost its power, lost its anointing, lost its preeminence in the world. Having faced the Roman Empire and crushed it in so many respects, they lost that. Really, we like to use the term lost, the word lost, because losing something is nobody's fault. This is why my friend, author Clay Sonmore, focused on verse 4. Thou hast left thy first love. Left thy first love. And then, yes, there's a lot of loss because of what we have left. And who left it? Thou, because thou hast left thy first love. understand, people of God, that if you leave the Lord Jesus, if you depart from your first love, this is the sure route to lose your candlestick and lose the power of God. Monday morning, this morning, European markets open to pandemonium and turmoil. Credit Suisse, the giant Swiss bank, fell almost 60%. Reading from AP, shares of Credit Suisse, whose woes stem from questions over its internal controls, fell about 56% a day after UBS said it would buy its fellow Swiss bank for a lowball price of 3.25 billion US. The shares are now trading at about the level that they are valued at by the deal. Now I'm going to tell you what's not in the news, why this bank is so important, why the volatility. This volatility spread to European markets and, of course, to the United States as well. Why is the volatility there? Why is anybody worried? Why does this affect other markets? There are a lot of reasons why. So the market plunged this morning and came back something around the base level, and right now, the patch is holding. This is a Band-Aid on a battleship. This is the raising of the USS Arizona. And it might work, and it might not. Ever since Purim, which has now been 2 full weeks, there has been a patch every day, and then another leak has sprung. And those leaks have gotten bigger and bigger. This was not just one bank, Silicon Valley Bank, way out on the West Coast, about to fall into the Pacific Ocean. No, this is a systemic problem. And we're dealing with the everything bubble, the overrated prices of commodities, of real estate, of the entirety of the stock market, and of the dollar itself. It has been the inflation of the dollar into an untenable balloon that has caused it to push back other currencies of the world, like the Japanese yen, the euro, the British pound. The only currency that it's not been able to push back has been the Mexican peso. And that is because of Mexico's production economy, because of the vast amount of industry that has been imported to Mexico and built in Mexico. Because Mexico is a nation that is just now breaking into truly developed status. It's a nation that is draining its own swamp and putting itself first in negotiations. It's not selling out to the Chinese and the globalists. And that's why the peso is strong even today. Let's read a little bit more AP, and then I'll tell you why it's so fishy. Swiss regulators orchestrated the purchase of Credit Suisse by UBS in a bid to stop more turmoil after the collapse of two U.S. banks, in indication of the frantic behind-the-scenes deal-making to resolve the issue before markets opened. The acquisition was announced late Sunday. So CAP tells that there were frantic negotiations over the weekend, as there were in the USA last weekend. That is their little hint that concerns are ongoing and that this was a serious situation. But it's far more serious than what this article indicates. Hal Turner is always an alarmist, but his sources continue to prove credible and unique, and he is a master at breaking through media blackouts on issues just like this. So here's what Hal Turner says. First of all, his article is titled, "Credit Suisse Died Suddenly. Why the failure of Credit Suisse is such a big deal. It was a, quote, bulge bracket bank," end quote. So it begins, to average everyday people, the failure of Credit Suisse is simply some news headline. They have no clue at all what this means. Alert. Time's up. Why? Because Credit Suisse was a bulge bracket bank. You may know it better as too big to fail. But fail, it has. Then here he defines what is a bulge bracket bank. This refers to a top-tier multinational investment bank that has a leading role in the global financial markets. They also typically work with large, high-profile clients such as corporations, governments, and institutional investors. Examples of bulge bracket banks include Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, and Deutsche Bank. These banks are known for their extensive resources, large-scale operations, and high-profile deals. if a bulge bracket bank were to fail, it could have serious repercussions on the global financial system and the broader economy. This is because these banks are deeply interconnected. If a bulge bracket bank were to fail, it could trigger a domino effect that would lead to other financial institutions experiencing financial distress or failing. This could lead to a credit freeze, making it difficult for businesses and individuals to obtain financing. This, in turn, could lead to a slowdown in economic activity and a recession.
Wanted: young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the Old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred.
Continuing with Hal Turner's commentary and reading from his article, if a bulge bracket bank were to fail, it could trigger a domino effect. Okay, next paragraph. To prevent such a scenario, regulators have put in place various measures to monitor and regulate the activities of bulge bracket banks. For example, these banks are subject to more stringent capital and liquidity requirements, stress tests, and other regulations to ensure their financial stability and resilience. In the event of a failure, regulators may also intervene to stabilize the financial system and protect the broader economy from the fallout of a bank failure. Those measures do not seem to have worked, writes Hal Turner, ahead of the opening of the European markets this morning. Credit Suisse failed. Reverberations from the Credit Suisse failure and the utterly vicious zeroing of Credit Suisse Tier A1 bonds is starting to spread. As this story is written at 4:45 a.m. on 20 March 2023, Asian stock markets have almost completed their trading day. They're all in the red. Credit Suisse was worth $10 billion a month ago and sold for pennies on the dollar. The government said Credit Suisse had serious risk of bankruptcy. A shareholder vote was bypassed. Now, this is where it really gets important, because all of what the government did over the weekend in order to approve this merger, this acquisition between UBS and Credit Suisse, was totally illegal. They threw their own laws and regulations, and more importantly, the rights of the stockholders out the window. Hal Turner continues, in red, this is written, a shareholder vote was bypassed. Regulators knew it was a matter of hours for bankruptcy. The deal was made out of desperation. In fact, the so-called quote-unquote rescue was not a rescue. UBS could only work an equity trade. They themselves lacked the cash for a real buyout. That deal was total clown world. Stock markets know this. Stockholders are learning of it now. The markets will begin to react today. And he writes, Europe is opening shortly. That's where we will see some of the Credit Suisse fallout. Now, as of this recording at midday Monday, it is still, the Band-Aid is still holding. But I guarantee you something else will unravel because this takeover was so hurried. Let's continue. You see those Tier 1A bonds that were zeroed for Credit Suisse? They totaled slightly over $17 billion. Somebody has now lost all that money. Well, a lot of somebody's, actually. See, these are shareholders. These are investors. The article continues, that loss is going to have an impact, maybe an impact on someone big, and that may take them out. When you factor in the reality that the Swiss government changed their law in real time to prevent Credit Suisse stockholders from having the statutory 6 weeks to consider a merger or buyout offer, the bondholders and stockholders now know they're sitting ducks. They have no protection of law. The rules went right out the window. Wow. As these bondholders and maybe stockholders run for the exits today and this week, their selling is going to put the banks under even more pressure. In the U.S., here's how fragile the banks actually are. And then he has an amazing chart. It's all available on HalTurnerRadioShow.com if you're interested. This week may very well be historic. We just don't know how it will turn out. Politicians all over the world are screaming from the rooftops that the banks are safe and secure. Trouble is, the public long ago learned that when they tell you things are safe, that's when you run. Because politicians and government officials have shown themselves to be liars over and over and over again. Only the truly stupid believe them anymore. With that reality, there's no telling what will happen this week. However, calamity is on the menu. This isn't going away. Here's another opinion, this one from KingWorldNews.com. The title is Grayers. This is it. The global financial system has started to collapse. Again, this is it. This is what Donald Trump said in his other message. I'm going to get to that. He said, the time is now. Today, the man who has become legendary for his predictions on QE and historic moves in currencies and metals warned King World News that people better have an escape plan because the global financial system has started to collapse. This article is from yesterday, March 19th, Sunday. Egon von Grayers, founder and managing partner of Matterhorn Asset Management, says, anyone who doesn't see what is happening will soon lose a major part of their assets, either through bank failure, currency debasement, or the collapse of all bubble assets like stocks, property, and bonds by 75 to 100%. Many bonds will become worthless. He recommends physical gold. And then states, the solidarity of the banking system is based on confidence. When confidence evaporates, so do the balance sheets of the banks, and depositors realize that the whole system is just a black hole, and this is exactly what is about to happen. For anyone who believes that this is just a problem with a few smaller U.S. banks and one big one, that being Credit Suisse, they must think again. Here, Egon von Grayer's comments ahead of the market opening. The situation at Credit Suisse is so dire that a solution needs to be found before Monday's March 20 opening. That's today. The bank cannot survive in its present form. A failure for Credit Suisse would not just rock the Swiss financial system, but have severe global repercussions. A merger with UBS is one solution. Now, I comment, of course, this is what has happened, but listen to what von Grayer says about this. UBS had to be bailed out in 2008 and doesn't want to be weakened again by Credit Suisse without state guarantees and support from the Swiss National Bank. The Swiss National Bank injected $50 billion in their currency, CHF, into CS last week, but the share price still went to a new low. And then he's got a graph here that says Credit Suisse insolvent goes from CHF 88 to 1.86 today. That's a 98% fall. And here's the arrow just going diagonally down to the lower right-hand corner. No one should believe that a state-subsidized takeover of Credit Suisse by UBS will solve the problem. No, it will just be rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic and making the problem bigger rather than smaller. So, rather than a lifebuoy, UBS will have a massive lead weight to carry, which will guarantee its demise as the banking system collapses, and the Swiss government will take on assets which will be unrealizable. Still, it's likely that by the end of the present weekend, a deal will be announced, with UBS being offered a deal they can't refuse by taking over the good assets and the Swiss National Bank / government nurturing the bad assets of Credit Suisse in a rescue vehicle. The Swiss National Bank is, of course, in a mess itself, having lost $143 billion in 2022. The Swiss National Bank balance sheet is bigger than Swiss GDP and consists of currency speculation and U.S. tech stocks. This central bank is the world's biggest hedge fund and the least successful. Just to put a balanced view on Switzerland, it has the best political system in the world with direct democracy. It also has low federal debt and normally no budget deficits. It is also the safest country in the world. All right. I'm going to comment on that because this is not just another European country. This is the banking capital of the Vatican, of the papacy. We all say more money than the Pope because the core of world wealth and of world banking has always been the Vatican, although they have used some proxies. We opened up with a verse about the synagogue of Satan out of Revelation, and that verse is very often misused to blame the Jewish people of the world for all ills, especially for banking sins against nations and the world itself. The fact is, the Vatican has always used intermediaries to shield and hide their hand in global political affairs and global financial affairs, which they have always endeavored to control for the last 2,000 years. Who guards the Pope? Who guards the Vatican? The Swiss guards. And yes, they come from Switzerland. It is important that no one believe this veneer and this mirage, this illusion of Swiss neutrality. Switzerland has always been the kissing cousin and client state, the proxy of the Vatican. And that's why it was neutral in both world wars, because the Pope's gold and the Pope's billions were stored there. The Vatican billions, the famed Vatican's billions. When Grandpa was flying over occupied Europe in World War II, he never got shot down in his B-17 Flying Fortress, but they blew up enough engines one time that he had to put her down overnight in Switzerland, and he did not like it at all. This was supposedly a neutral country, but it was freezing cold, and there they were, sacked out in the belly of that thin aluminum-skinned mechanical beast. Knowing that an attack could come at any moment, they did not like being on the ground, and fortunately, his crew chief wrenched on those engines and got enough of them running that they could get that beast back in the air and get back to England. For the Vatican to abandon their ancient buddy nation, Switzerland, at this time, just shows how deep in the endgame we really are. I would remind you that in August, Pope Francis, seeing that these collapses were coming, that all of these institutions were like the Titanic, that their sinking was a mathematical certainty, that he ordered all Vatican entities to move all funds to the Vatican Bank. That is, to leave even Switzerland, to leave their nation's national banks, and to leave even the banks of Switzerland. And here I am going to read from the National Catholic Register. The title is, Pope Francis instructs Vatican entities to move all funds to Vatican Bank by September 30th. According to Francis' rescript, financial and liquid assets held in banks other than the IOR must be moved to the Vatican Bank within 30 days of September 1, 2022. The IOR is an acronym for the Latin name of the Institution of Works of Religion. this move, this order by Pope Francis, was really only reported by alternative news in the USA. And other than that, the rumors were only in wealthy Catholic circles, the circles of wealthy Catholic industrialists and of the vast religious empires and holdings of the Vatican around the world. But listen how small this bank was. Continuing to read from the National Catholic Register, the IOR, based in Vatican City State, has 110 employees and 14,519 clients. It looks after 5.2 billion euros of client assets. That is nothing. This was a tiny institution that only looked after their own, and now they ordered all assets of all wealthy Catholic industrialists and all church properties and entities worldwide to deposit their funds there, and they gave them 30 days from September the 1st of 2022. I believe the rescript was on August the 23rd. And so within a period of 40 days, all assets in all the world by the Catholic Church and her harlot daughters were put into this institution, which swelled it enormously. I mean, can you believe only 5.2 billion in assets? That's like nothing. In the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, 42 billion left that bank in one single day. So that's eight times what the size of the IOR was before this rescript by Pope Francis. In 2020, the IOR published its internal regulations and its profit figures for the first time ever. So you see, this has been in preparation. The Vatican has been spooling up their own internal bank to the point where the Pope could make this decree then 2 years later, and within 40 days, all of those funds could be moved to the IOR within the month of September of 2022. As listeners know, I've been hanging out in cartel country where the tattooed street soldier, the gangsters, the sicarios are the norm. And not just the gangsters, they're gangster groupie girls that hang out with them. These are the buchonas, known for their glitz and long fingernails, for their plastic surgeries and boob jobs. It's guys and dolls all over again, right? The roaring 20s, all done with drug money. But I recently went to the capital city, and in the state capital, the drug dealers are not allowed to cruise around with their accordion music blaring out of their black SUVs with no license plates and blacked out windows full of guns and hitmen. For up until the very recent change of the government, the capital was patrolled by the state police with their vehicles full of guns and hitmen. And I observed something else, that in the capital is another class of buchona. There's a whole other type of groupie girls. These are the corrupt cop wives, and they are the kept women of the political and industrial elite. And what makes it all possible? What makes it seem legitimate? An enormous prosperity gospel megachurch started by Americans. Yes, the kept women of that capital city actually think that they're on the side of good. And how does it happen? Well, let's read from Revelation, your gospelgunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Revelation 3:17, about the modern church, the Laodicean church, the seventh and final church age. And here are the words of the Lord Jesus. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The next verse continues, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do you see that these buchonas are the Crusades all over again? It is Catholicism versus Islam, and now Catholicism has an American Prosperity Church edition, and it is that Prosperity Gospel American Church edition
to Catholicism that the Lord Jesus is rebuking in this passage and saying, you say you're rich, you think you're the good guy, you are on the side of evil, you're poor and wretched and blind and naked, you're still in your sins. And what is so obvious in cartel country has probably gone unnoticed in the United States or on your Caribbean island. Time is short, and I've still got to hit more Donald Trump arrest news. Comerica and Charles Schwab banks flagging in the stock markets, and the energetics failure. Let's go to that first. RT.com reports EU explosives shortage threatens Ukraine. So this is actually in the European Union. The bloc, that is Europe, is struggling to further support Kiev with arms due to a lack of raw materials, sources told the outlet. I comment here that this is about a lack of industrial capacity to create nitrated high-explosive compounds like TNT, trinitrotoluene, nitroglycerin, nitrocellulose, which is the base of modern smokeless powder, referred to incorrectly, I would add, in this article as gunpowder. Continuing to read from RT, the EU defense industry's ability to provide Ukraine with military supplies has been hampered by a deficit of explosives, the Financial Times reported on Sunday, citing sources. Several European officials and arms manufacturers told the outlet the bloc's military plants are suffering from scarce supplies of gunpowder and TNT, which could delay plans to boost shell production by 3 years, or within 3 years. Sources complained that this meant the defense industry would be unable to meet the soaring demand, regardless of how much money is thrown at the problem. The fundamental problem is that the European defense industry is not in good shape for large-scale war production, one German official told the outlet. Then get a load of this damning quote. The official proceeded to point out that it's not possible to increase in a short time nitrocellulose production, which is the basic ingredient in gunpowder. If I want to increase production of gunpowder, I need probably 3 years, he added. Now listen to the other side of the world. This article from AsiaTimes.com, U.S., now, not Europe, the United States lacks the explosive firepower to truly deter China. China has surged past U.S. explosive and propellant production capacity. U.S. stockpiles would run dry within a week of a Taiwan war. The U.S. is at a growing risk of a firepower gap with China as U.S. explosives and propellants production declines and China's rises. This month, Forbes reported that China had overtaken the U.S. in developing new types of explosives, notably its version of CL-20. The report mentions that China tested its CL-20 counterpart in 2011 and has since mass-produced the explosive. In contrast, the article says that almost all U.S. military explosives are made at one U.S. Army plant at Holston, Tennessee, using World War II-style mixing systems and production techniques. It also notes that newer explosives such as CL-20 cannot be made with these dated methods and can only be produced in smaller amounts in chemical reactors. The report also mentions that the U.S. can make 10 tons of CL-20 a year with its current stockpiles of precursor chemicals, but broad use of CL-20 will require a production rate of 1,000 tons a year, with U.S. industries needing 3 to 5 years to scale up. Then comes even worse news, and that is that we're getting even our precursor chemicals for the explosive production that we have in the U.S. from China. The article continues, Forbes notes that the U.S. depends on China as the only source for a half dozen chemical ingredients used in its military explosives and propellants, and other countries of concern for another dozen, bringing the security of U.S. energetics logistics chains into question. The article also mentions that in the event of a Taiwan contingency, the U.S. will face greater numbers of Chinese missiles, including some with power and range greater than anything in the U.S. arsenal, due to China's development of new explosives and propellants that burn more efficiently.
Because I've been faithful in using the weapons that the Lord's given me, starting with a sling and a stone, I am very effective in using prophecy and commanding the stormy wind, the whirlwind, and the lightning to go before me and to blow out the power in a city before I even go in there. It's a lot safer that way. But for those of you that aren't quite at that place yet, I got a question, Patriots. Can you hit a bird on a wire? Can you hit the wire itself? Because there's no sense in destroying a transformer in your own city that would be very, very difficult to replace when the wire itself is so vulnerable. Just a reminder that uphill and downhill shots tend to go high because of a lesser gravitational component vector. So just keep that in mind if you have trouble with a bird on a wire. When you're looking at high lines, generally the one in your neighborhood ahead of the transformer is a 14-4 wire, 14,400 volts. Bigger transmission lines that come into cities can be 100,000, 300,000, 500,000 volts. Now, generally, the top wire is a neutral wire. That one is the one that is intended to draw the lightning strikes down into the ground. But then below that are the high-voltage transmission lines. Just they break really easy. It's just something that I've noticed. And if a couple of those were to go down in your city, then everybody's Ring cameras go down, everybody's Wi-Fi routers go down, all of the big lights that illuminate the city go down, all the infrared lights that make everybody's cameras work go down. I'm out of time, guys, but thank God that the word of prophecy has come into effect against both Comerica Bank and Charles Schwab Bank, the two banks that cheated me and ignored my very legitimate claims and cheated me out of inheritances and forced me to ask all of you to help me to bring you the word financially. Remember, friends, Donald Trump's message in all caps, the time is now.
I could have killed them all. I could have killed you. I'm telling you the law out here, it's me. Don't push it. Don't push it, I'll give you a war you won't believe.
Paz, dame de tu paz. Tormentas cesarán al oír tu llamar. Paz, en la adversidad las olas calmarás, tu poder lo hará. Cristo, Cristo, la oscuridad tiembla ante Cristo, Cristo, no temeré. Cristo, Cristo, la oscuridad tiembla ante Cristo, Cristo. Hoy sopla viento en mí, que te adore a ti otra vez. Cantaré, Cristo, Cristo, la oscuridad tiembla ante Cristo, Cristo, no temeré. Cristo, Cristo, la oscuridad tiembla ante Cristo, Cristo. Con tu poder las tinieblas vencerás. va tiemblante, Cristo, Cristo.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.